being grateful that he is faithful. He cares for us. And I don't believe it's a coincidence tonight that this message is being brought forth to you. You know, coincidence is just God's way of remaining anonymous, is what my wife says. Because during this season, we all get discouraged. We all miss a loved one. We all have issues, financial issues, and all those things. And we need to be reminded, even Mike Leahy needs to be reminded, that God is faithful. God is faithful. I did a search this week on the Secret Service of the United States. As I was watching the presidential debates and watching the president and everything, I started thinking about what is it that they do. I know that they watch out for the president, but what else do they do? There's 4,500 employees at the Secret Service. And I thought, what do they do? So I looked it up, and they look after the president. They look after the vice president. They look after the president-elect, the vice president-elect. By law, they protect the wives and the families of the president and the vice president. Some of you may not know that they protect previous presidents and their families. They protect the widows of presidents that have died. They protect the children of those presidents till they're 16 or I think it was 10 years after. But they protect those people. They protect dignitaries. They protect foreign people that come into this country, you know, for governmental reasons. But wherever the president goes, they're there. If the president's taking a jog, they're lacing up their sneakers. If the president is skiing down the slopes, they're strapping on the skis. If he's fishing, they're out in the boat. If the president goes scuba diving, the Secret Service is strapping on the air tank and the flippers. They go wherever he goes. They help him. They protect him. They care for him. Now, wouldn't that be cool if we had somebody like that, that went with us everywhere and pushed people away and said, you know, don't hurt this person. You know, they protect us and they care for us. I heard that over there. We do. And he doesn't do it out of duty. He doesn't do it because that's his job. God cares for us because he loves us. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, being grateful that he's faithful and caring for us. Turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Now, Joshua knew what it was like to be cared for by the Lord. Joshua knew that when he was called to take the children of Israel into the promised land, that he was going to be okay. He knew that because God's promise told him so. God's promise, which we'll read, was, I will be with you. What a promise. I will be with you. Joshua chapter 1, starting with verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, the aide to Moses, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give you to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will be extended from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, to all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all of the law the servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous. Then you will be successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I ask that as we speak tonight of your word, as we dig into your word, as your Holy Spirit speaks to each one of us, God, that we will leave these doors different than when we came. God, that we will glean something from this message tonight, from your word, that will rock our world, that will change our life. And God, we're going to be sure to give you the glory now for what you're going to do in this place tonight. Anoint my lips to speak your words. Anoint our ears to hear. Anoint our hearts to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua knew that God cared for him because God told him he cared for him and that he would be with him. When God cares for us, that brings us two things. That brings us strength and that brings us courage. He told Joshua, be strong and very courageous. In fact, if you look through the book of Joshua, that's kind of the main theme, being strong and courageous. I believe it's mentioned 5 times in the book of Joshua, to be strong and very courageous. In fact, if you turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 31, that's the same thing that God told Moses. Be strong and very courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God, he said, that goes with you, and he will never leave you or forsake you. God is commanding Joshua. God is commanding the children of Israel. God is calling us today, commanding us today to be strong and very courageous. That's not an empty command. He's just not telling you to be strong and courageous and leaving you there. That comes with a promise. We read that promise. If you're strong and courageous, you can be strong and courageous because I am with you. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. No matter how hard things get, we can be strong and we can be courageous. You know, there's a story told about a Moscow circus. And there was this beautiful woman who was a lion tamer. She was in the cage, and they let in a lion, a fierce lion, big roar, swiping at the fence. And the beautiful woman caught the lion's attention. And all of a sudden, the lion became meek and mild. He walked up to her, and he put his paws around her, and he hugged her. He snuggled with her. He nuzzled with affection to her. The crowd went wild. Applause, shouts, whistles, screams, except for one man who stood up and said, "What's the big idea? Anybody can do that." The ringmaster, being a little miffed, said, "Sir, would you like to come and try it?" He stepped up and said, "Yes, I certainly would. But first, take the lion out of the cage." Okay, some of you didn't get that. You might get it when you get home. He wanted to hug and snuggle and nuzzle the woman. He thought that's what it meant to be strong and courageous. Okay, I heard somebody say, "Oh, I get it. That's awesome." We are called to be strong and courageous. We all are called one time in our life to be strong and courageous. For Joshua, it was when he was called to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want that gig. I mean, I wouldn't want to follow Moses. We're talking Moses. But God called Joshua to lead the people that had been lost for years, to lead them into the promised land. So Joshua called upon God's strength and God's courage. Jesus Christ himself called upon the strength and the courage that God offers. If you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Lord, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, take it." He called for strength. He called for courage. The disciples called out for strength and courage as they went out to a hostile world to preach the gospel, to preach the good news. Kind of sounds like us, doesn't it? We're called to preach the good news. We're called to take it into the highways and the byways. And the world is becoming hostile to the Christian belief. I don't know tonight what you're in need of. I don't know when you call upon the Lord for strength. I don't know when you call upon the Lord for courage. It could be when God calls you to do something great for Him, like pastor a church in Bloomfield, Iowa, in Davis County. Believe me, I've drawn on the strength of the Lord. I've drawn on the courage to step out in faith. People ask, why did you start a church there? And like I said before, when I was here months ago, I said, why not? How many read the Des Moines Register about the rural church decline? You know where they went? They went to Bloomfield, Iowa, and did a study about people not going to church anymore and why they weren't going to church. As a pastor, I use that to, not to my advantage, but I use that to encourage the people. You wonder why we're here in Bloomfield, Iowa. This is why. It's because people need the Lord. People need a place to go to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we offered that. I don't know if it's because you got some bad news from the doctor that you need to call on the strength and the courage of the Lord. I don't know if it's because you have an opportunity to be a witness in your workplace or in your school. Some people love to approach people on the street and ask them about their salvation. And some people used to scare me to death. No kidding. I'm like, hi, how are you? I'm Mike, you know. No big deal. But to this guy, it was. So I would call on the strength of the Lord. Some of you have lost your job and you don't know where the next paycheck's going to come from. So you've called on the strength of the Lord. I hear a squeak up there and it sounded like a bat, so I was kind of concerned. We all need to understand that we can be strong and we can be courageous. Not because I'm Superman. Not because in my own strength and my own courage I can do things. But we are commanded to be strong and courageous because Jesus told Joshua, Jesus tells Linda, Jesus tells Luke, Jesus tells Kelly, Jesus tells, put your name here, be strong and courageous, for I am with you. If you hear nothing else tonight when you leave this place, look at me. Know that you can be strong and courageous because God is with you. And not only is He with you now, He says, I will never, never, never is a long time. Never is a long time, and I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. I love you, and I like you, but I can't promise you that. Mike Leggy cannot promise you that I will never leave you, or I won't forsake you, because I'm human, and I will. Whew. But the God of glory, He promised that He'd never leave us, that He'd never forsake us. And when God says it, He means it. And when He means it, it's going to happen. You can take that to the bank. You can take that to the hospital. You can take that to the counselor and let them know, through God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So not only when God cares for us does that bring us strength and courage, it also brings us comfort. I like that word, comfort. I like comfort food. I like a comfortable pillow. I like a comfortable blanket. I like a comfortable wife that I can snuggle with. I like comfort. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Psalm 139, starting with verse 7. Psalm 139, starting with verse 7. David here saying, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. David realizes in this passage that no matter what he's going through, that no matter where he goes, God is there. God is there. Look at verse 10. It says, "Your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." There's something about being held that brings you comfort. As a baby gets cranky, and you hold the baby, and you rock the baby, and that gives baby comfort. As a little toddler, when they fall and they scratch their knee and they get a boo-boo, what do? They run to mommy or they run to daddy, and mommy and daddy hug them and they hold them and they love them, and pretty soon that boo-boo goes away. I remember as a young father, as a young husband, losing a job and wondering what I was going to do or something else in my life that was just really stressful. And I remember this lovely woman putting her hand on mine and holding my hand and looking me square in the eye and say, "It's going to be okay." Her holding me gave me comfort. When my dad spent his, my dad's been gone now 9 years this weekend. When he was in hospice, his last dying days, I remember sitting by his bedside, as many of you have done, holding his hand. Holding his hand. Not that that would do any kind of healing work, not that that would do anything spectacular, but it gave him comfort knowing someone was there. And I'll tell you what, church, it gave me comfort knowing that I was holding my daddy's hand as he went over into glory. So there's something about being held that gives us comfort. You've all experienced it. You all know it. And to prove that out, here's some more verses in the book of Psalm that deal with comfort. Psalm 9:9, all who are oppressed, there are some oppressed in this house tonight. All who are oppressed may come to him, for he is a refuge for them in their time of trouble. I like this one, Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. There's brokenhearted in the house tonight, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Hear that tonight. If you're oppressed, he is your refuge. If you're brokenhearted, he's close to you. Psalm 37:24. Though he may stumble, though he may not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. That's what I like about the Lord. When I stumble, if I fall, I don't stay down because he lifts me up. His hands comfort me. So tonight, as we are grateful that he's faithful and caring for us, we know that his care for us gives us strength, gives us courage, and gives us comfort. I could stop preaching right there, and we could leave here knowing we're going to be okay. But in the book of Joshua, it goes on that not only does God's caring give us things, provide us things, bring us things, God's caring requires that we be obedient. Don't check out on me. Don't check out on me. He requires that we be obedient. Where's that story that I had? I just had it not too long ago. There it is. Obedience. How many of you were obedient as kids? That's all right. I'll open up the altars later. You can repent. 16-year-old son approached his father and said, "Dad, I'm 16 now. When can I get my license, and then can I drive the family car?" His dad looked at him and said, "Son, driving the car takes maturity. And first, you must prove you are responsible enough." How many have heard that word? You're not responsible enough. Okay, that's a whole new sermon. I'll leave that one alone. The one way that you must do that is to bring up your grades. They're not acceptable. Second, you must read your Bible every day. And finally, I want you to get that haircut. It looks outrageous. The son began the task of fulfilling the father's requirements, knowing that the last one might be impossible. When his grades came out, he came to his dad with a big smile. "Look, Dad, All A's and B's on my report card. Now can I drive the family car? Very good, son, the father said. You are one-third of the way there. But have you been reading your Bible? Yes, Dad, every day, the son said. Very good, son. You are now two-thirds of the way there. Now, when are you going to get that haircut? Thinking he could outsmart his dad, the son said, Well, Dad, I don't see why I should get my haircut to drive the car. Anyway, Jesus had long hair, didn't he? The father said, Well, son, yes, he did. And he walked everywhere he went. I like that. I like that. Just, I think of my son Nathan when I think of that. You know, Dad, I want this. Well, you have to do this and this and this. Oh, why do I have to do this? This kid's 17 years old. Why do I have to do this? Because it's obedience. And in the book of Joshua, we read that we're to be obedient. Samuel. Remember what Samuel said? Samuel said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Church, hear my heart tonight. Obedience is more important than your tithe. Obedience is more important than just attending church, warming a pew. Obedience is vital in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because when we're obedient, we're in His will. And when we're in His will, we have a greater relationship with Him than when we're disobedient. He's there when we're disobedient. But how many know, but when we're obedient, we're closer to the Father. He never goes anywhere. We're the ones that move. But we're called to be obedient. In the book of Joshua that we just read, that first chapter, first nine verses, there are two ways that God expects obedience out of Joshua, out of the people of Israel, and I believe, yes, He expects out of us. And both of them deal with the Word of God. Both of the things that we need to be obedient in are the Word of God. For it says in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the right or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. Now, I did some research, and from what I found, researchers say that Joshua and the people of Israel only had the five books of Moses and maybe Job. That's what they had to be obedient in. Church, we have the whole Word of God. We have the whole Word of God to show our obedience in. This is the food for our souls. This is the weapon that we pull out to do battle. And God tells us to obey the Word of God because we have the Word of God. But God doesn't just expect us to open up the Bible and read the Word of God. The second point is He expects us to meditate upon the Word of God. Now, by meditate, I don't mean I don't mean that kind of meditation. Here's an analogy. When you read the Word of God, you're eating a sandwich. But when you meditate on the Word of God, you're digesting that sandwich. You're pulling the nutrients out. You're pulling the protein. You're pulling the grains and the lettuce and all those things, all those good things you're pulling out to put into your life, to put into your spiritual life. When we meditate on His Word, said in Joshua, meditate on it day and night. Well, Mike, that's impossible. No, it's not. You hide the word in your heart that you might not sin against Him. It does us little good to read the Word and just have it up here. I'm not saying it doesn't do us any good. It does us little good. It's only when we let the filter take it from here, 12 inches down to here. Then God can do something with it. God can do something with the Word in our hearts. Again, hide the Word in your heart, not because it's just something good to do, that I might not sin against you. Amen. Do you like to sin? I used to. Sin's fun, but it's temporary. Sin is fun, but it's temporary. I used to think church was a lot of do's and don'ts and can'ts. But I know better now, because I can do all things through Christ. Amen. It's about cans and do's and wills. It's not because I have to, because I want to. My mama used to say, I'd much rather you clean your room because you want to than because you have to. We are to read the word, we're to obey the word, and we're to meditate on the word. When we do those things, when we call upon his strength, when we call upon his courage, when we call upon his comfort, he will be with us. He will never leave us. Mike, why are you talking like this? Because you're listening. He promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you know tonight? Do you know? No. Do you know tonight that God is with you? I mean, do you know tonight that God is with you? No matter what God said, I will be with you. Do you know that tonight? Do you know that God cares for you? Somebody in this place doesn't. God cares for you. Like my mama used to say, warts and all, he cares for you. You don't need to get cleaned up to come before him. You come before him and he'll clean you up. Is there someone in the house tonight that has needs that need to be met? That you need to draw upon the well of God's strength and God's courage and God's comfort? That obey his word. Meditate on his word. Search his word. He will never, never let you down. If you need those things, today is your day. Tonight is your night. You can call upon God for his strength right now. You can call upon God for his courage right now. You can call upon God for his comfort right now. Have you ever experienced the loving arms of the Father? The warmth, the comfort, the security, the safety of being in the arms of Jesus Christ, being in the arms of God the Almighty, of sitting on the Father's lap and letting him love on you. He does that, but he also does that through you and me. The Bible says we are his hands extended. God's people, listen to me. We need to do more loving on each other. We need to do less bickering and more loving. We need to do more, less stabbing in the back and hugging around the neck. Slap on the back's better than a kick in the butt every day. Again, one of my mama-isms. God loves you. He cares for you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants you to have courage and be comforted. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God never promised you that you would not go into the furnace. But he did promise that he'd go in there with you. I remember the king looking down into the furnace. Didn't we put 3 people in there? Why do I see this fourth man? And he's shining, shining. When people look at you in your life and the trouble you're going through, what do they see? When they look into your furnace, what do they see? Do they see Mike Leggy struggling, trying to put out the fire? Or do they see Mike Leggy standing there with someone beside him, being calm, collective, knowing that God is with me? Where are you at today? Where are you at today? How are you in your furnace? Close your eyes and bow your head this morning. We are called to be grateful that he is faithful. We are called to be grateful that he is faithful and caring for us. And I know that I know that I know in my spirit tonight there's some in the house that need to know that. They need to hear that promise of God saying, I am with you. And I will never, ever, never, ever leave you or forsake you. I will never turn my back on you. While others do, I will never do that. While others doubt you, while others doubt your faith, while others doubt your spiritual walk, I never will. Enemy, Satan, and your demons, be on notice tonight that these are God's people. These are God's people, and they are calling on the strength and the courage of the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. You know, I'm reminded.